Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the chapter Babul Khawfi, the chapter on fear. Today's hadith we learn that a Muslim all the time is concerned, all the time he's worried. This dunya is actually Darul Imtihan, is the world of test and trial. So a Muslim is not someone that rests assured. Muslim is not someone that is confident of himself. Ulama explained is like a person that's running a race. Now, he can't claim victory that I won the race before the race has ended. While the race is on, nobody can claim victory. A person can only know whether he was victorious after the race has finished. So similarly, a mu'min in this world, a believer in this world, only after he goes to akhirat, after he's entered into jannah, now he can be confident, now he can rest assured that now I've entered into jannah and now there's no returning. So at that point only a person can be confident. There's no such thing as being confident of our iman, and been confident of ourselves in this world. Rest assured is normally a name of a mattress, that's where it should stay, but as far as the iman is concerned, we should never be rest assured all the time. We should be worried and concerned that iman is such a thing that it's there today, if I'm not careful, that iman can be snatched away. Therefore, one of the advices Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullahi alayhi would give is that at night before you sleep, read the kalima. Read the kalima. So when you're reading your du'as, your sleeping du'as, also with the sleeping du'as, read your kalima. And when you wake up, together with reading your dua for waking up, Alhamdulillah, ladhi ahyana, ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur, immediately they have to read the kalima again. So you wake sleeping with kalima, you wake up with kalima. Iman is not something we can be confident about. We have to be very, very careful. So this today's hadith, we learn that how careful a person should be as far as his iman is concerned. It should never be such that we are confident and we feel, no, we have achieved enough. It doesn't matter whether we are particular with our salah, we are meticulous with whatever we need to. We should have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but don't ever be confident of our condition. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who spoke the truth and who was told the truth, related to us, the creation of each one of you remains in the womb of his mother for 40 days in the form of a congealed blood, in the form of semen. It then became a clot of blood for an equal number of days. So first it was in the form of this liquid, this impure liquid. Then it became a clot. Thereafter it stayed in the womb for 40 days in the form of a clot of blood. So first it was this congealed blood, this liquid, the semen, for 40 days. Thereafter it became, or it remained in a clot of blood for another 40 days. It then becomes a piece of flesh for an equal number of days. Now Allah Ta'ala converts it into flesh. This is only the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, this explanation that comes in the hadith and comes in the ayat of Quran, even the doctors and the scientists etc. are mind-boggled that how, without x-ray machines, without the understanding of what's happening internally within a person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so accurately described what is happening in the womb of the mother. So perfect, so accurate. So anyway, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Saud radiallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time, no electricity, no x-ray machine, no ultrasound, nothing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining exactly what is happening in the womb of the mother. So anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter says, it then becomes a piece of flesh for an equal number of days. So 40 days was liquid, then 40 days was a clot of blood, and 40 days it was a piece of flesh. So 3 times 40 days will give you 4 months. So an angel is then sent to him. In other words, after 4 months now, an angel is then sent to him who blows the soul into him. So when does the soul come into this body? After 4 months, the soul is blown into the body. So therefore people think of this abortion is something that is something small. It's not something small, it's something that is very, very serious. The soul is blown in after 4 months, you find that there's life there. So if abortion is taking place, a person aborts their child, then we can understand that it's equal to murder. Why? Because the soul after 4 months is blown into that body. So thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the angel is then commanded to record 4 things. After that life is blown into this piece of flesh, then the angel is commanded to record 4 things. This person's sustenance, his duration of life, his deeds, whether he will be wretched or fortunate. So what will happen? 4 things. What is the 4 things? His rozi, his sustenance. At that time it is recorded, his duration, this is another recording, obviously there is a recording also before a person comes into existence, but this is that particular recording at this moment when a person, life is blown into him. So his sustenance, his duration of life, his deeds, what actions he'll do, whether it be good deeds, whether it'll be bad deeds, all that now is recorded. And the last fourth thing is whether this person will be wretched or fortunate. In other words, whether he'll end up in Jahannam or whether he'll end up in Jannat. I take an oath in the name of that being besides whom there is none worthy of worship. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying this, and who's reporting it? Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He says, I take an oath in the name of that being besides whom there is none worthy of worship, that one of you may perform the deeds of the people of Jannah until Jannat is just one arm's length from you. One's arm's length. Person is doing, all the time he's doing the deeds of Jannah. He's doing good deeds. He's doing those Jannati actions. His whole life he's doing Jannati actions. Until Jannat is so close to him, just one arm's length. In other words, he's almost there reaching Jannat. He's so close via his actions to reach Jannat. But his destiny prevails over him and he commits a deed of the people of Jahannam. So this person now when he reaches right there, now he does the wrong thing. He commits the evil of the people of Jahannam. And consequently he ends up ending in Jahannam. And one of you performs the deeds of the people of Jahannam, hellfire, until Jahannam is just one arm's length from him, but his destiny prevails over him and he commits a deed of the people of Jannah. Consequently he enters Jannah. What is teaching us? Don't rest, be rest assured. Sometimes your amal can be so good that you can be doing so much your whole life, right till the ending, until you're so close to Jannah, you can slip and you can start doing the action of the people of Jahannam and you may end up in Jahannam. So don't be confident thinking that 20 years, 30 years I'm doing good deeds, it's guaranteed for me. And likewise, we can't say about another person who's doing something that is wrong. He himself, between him and Allah, is doing something that is wrong. We can't say, we never know, right at the end, until Jahannam is so close to him, he may just make tawbah and change his life right at the end, and he may enter into Jannah after doing a whole life of wrong deeds. Ulama give an explanation to this hadith. What is meant by his takdir prevails over him? What is meant by that? A man is doing good actions. It means that outwardly his actions are seeming good, but inwardly there's some sickness in there. Inwardly there's some bimari, there's some problem there. So outwardly it seems as though this person is doing the act of Jannah. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will do it. It's not the system of Allah ta'ala. If a man is doing the actions of Jannah his whole life, it is not the system of Allah ta'ala at the last minute now to make him go into Jahannam. But ulama say, فِيمَا يَرَنْ nas, explaining from the hadith, that his actions are such, and these are the words of another hadith, his actions are such that what people see it to be, they see it to be the action of Jannat. But in other words, there is some sickness inside. He's doing it for riya, he's doing it for show, doing it for ostentation, he's doing it thinking good of himself, that I'm better than everyone else. So when he's doing it with this type of condition, it seems as though he's right there, so close toward Jannat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such. Now destiny takes over in a sense, that now he starts doing those actions that people can see are the actions of Jahannam, and he'll enter into Jahannam. And on the other hand, you'll get the person that who's doing something that is wrong, but inside he maybe have the desire, I know what I'm doing is wrong, inshallah I'm going to make tawbah for it. This person is sincere about making tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that outwardly it seems as though he is on the wrong. And yes, it's wrong, and we must make it clear, something is wrong, it's wrong. But he has an intention that I'm going to turn to Allah and make tawbah. And the last minute when he's just about there, going towards Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala gives this person tawfiq and he enters into Jannah. So therefore the lesson we take from this hadith is that we can never ever rest assured. We don't know what our khatima will be, what our ending will be. There was one buzruk, he would walk, and there was a Hindu person, in India this was, there was a Hindu person that would mock at him and tease him and would tell him that this beard of yours that you got, is the beard of my goat better or is your beard better? So this was the Hindu would mock at him every time he would walk past the Hindu shop. Is the beard of my goat better or your beard? So his reply was, look, the person has got this in mind. He says, I don't know what my ending will be. If my ending is going to be wrong or my ending is going to be bad, then your goat is better than me. Your goat's beard is better than my beard. If my ending is going to be bad. But if my ending is going to be good, inshallah, then my beard is better than again the beard of your goat. But he made one wasiyah to the people that were there. He said that when you are taking my janaza, he was a very pious person, that when you are taking my janaza, then make sure you stop outside the shop of this Hindu with my janaza. And stop for a few moments and open up my face, and then thereafter continue with it. So this was his wasiyah he made. So when this happened, this incident now is mentioned by our Buzruganuddin, our Kabir, so we take it and we take lesson from it. So when they were taking the janaza of this person, stop there for a moment outside the shop of the Hindu. And then he spoke and he said, in this condition I can say that the beard, my beard today is better than the beard of your goat. In other words, even at that time, we can't think at that moment that we are guaranteed Jannat. Only when a person finishes off, then he knows, he finishes the race, he knows what his end result will be. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. One lesson that we take from here is that we should never be confident of ourselves. However, if something is wrong, at that time we have to say that it is wrong. It doesn't mean that something is wrong now, we can't say it is wrong. We have to say, in fact, Deen wants us to say, if something is wrong, we make mention of it being wrong, without thinking ourselves to be better than anyone else. But at the same time, we have to be clear about something that is wrong. And if something is right, something is praiseworthy, we should praise it, we should encourage it, without feeling confident that I got this in me. But we should have this fear that may Allah Ta'ala must save me, I mustn't slip right at the end. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.